Welcome, Spacers. This week we have Rachel Ober, a developer that specializes in front-end and Ruby on Rails. She recently spoke at the Virtual SaaS Summit, when during her intro she mentioned this great conference she co-founded called Write, Speak, Code, that strives to empower women software developers to be their own, like, developer evangelists by becoming thought leaders, conference speakers, and open source contributors. I thought that was fantastic and wanted to join her on have her on the show and just talk more about it. Also joining me on this interview is Ari Stiles. She's my partner at Environments for Humans, where we have a lot of discussions about how we make our events open and accepting on almost a regular basis. So I hope you enjoy the show. Just some notes. I'll be hosting a virtual conference in December, on December 10th, about Perch CMS Summit. It's a lightweight PHP CMS. So if you're interested in that, check it out. For more details at perchcmssummit.com. Also, check out links to sites, apps, tools, etc. mentioned in this episode at nonbreakingspace.tv. Please be sure to go to iTunes, search for Nonbreaking Space Show in the podcast section, and subscribe so you always get the latest show. And if you wouldn't mind, just give us a rating and let us know how it goes. Use the key phrase "awesome sauce" just so I know that you guys are paying attention. And I think that's it for now. Please enjoy the show. See you next time. But yeah, but I want to talk to you. Like, we just saw you at SaaS Summit, right? Online. Yes.
Correct.
We'll talk about that. But I think one of the things that really got me interested was in your bio was the conference that you co-founded. And
yes. So
what's the name of the conference?
The conference is called Write, Speak, Code. We hold it, well, it's only been in the United States, but we do call it an international conference because we actually had our first international attendee last year. She came from Africa and she was one of our scholarship winners, and it was really great to be able to provide that. And we really are looking to target women who have been in their careers for a couple of years now and want to keep improving and how to do that.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I was just loving the structure of it, and I'm wondering, just kind of like on a logistical level, like how many applicants do you receive for things like scholarships and speakers and that sort of a thing? Because it looks pretty big.
Well, so the attendance we're aiming so the thing with Write, Speak, Code is that it is a very directed type of conference where we've created this curriculum in collaboration with other organizations such as Code Montage, and we actually used to have the op-ed project lead our first day. So each day is broken down into either write, speaking, or coding. And we have like a specific thing that we want to tackle in our first year attendees who are looking to get more comfortable writing op-eds, writing blog posts, and things like that. And then also our speak day is very involved, and we work on creating bios, figuring out what we're experts in, and sometimes that can be very challenging for people to really be able to nail down what their expertise is. And we really get them in front of other people. And we consider it a safe space because everybody there is new to speaking, and get up there and actually present a topic for 10 to 15 minutes and get them over this shyness in front of people. And then our final day, we break into groups and we work on contributing to open source projects. So we have representatives from these different open source projects come and help people get it set up on their computer, debug things, and be able to then make a pull request by the end of the day.
Yeah. So, I mean, because you have so many people, you know, everyone's participating and getting their 10 to 15 minutes. I'm guessing that's kind of like an intimate group of people.
Yes. We try to break them up so that there's only about, I would say, 8 to 10 people per room. And they have what we consider like a mentor who is there to ask questions, maybe coach them on how to really trim down their material to get into like one specific topic that they can talk about, as well as do their, like, really get their slides to look good, what kind of tips and tricks they have. And we do, you can present individually, but we do set it up in a way that you can present with a partner so that you have this extra support there for you.
Okay. And then I'm also curious, it's an all women conference.
Correct. Yeah. So we are cis and trans friendly, and we do want to encourage that, like what our definition of all women conference. And it really is to give women a safe space that they're not, I think a lot of feedback that we got from women is that they do feel intimidated with other men there. And the feedback that we've gotten with just the women at Right Speak Code is that they like look around in the room and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's just, I've never been with so many technical women, and they really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. So we've really tried to make that a safe space for everybody to be able to share what their concerns are. We don't, unless it's a keynote type of presentation, we don't videotape. So we do kind of suggest that people, when they're presenting, they have somebody hold their phone so that they can record their presentation for them to look back on later, mm-hmm. to be able to critique their own presentation. But we don't like, we try to keep it very safe and like a very focused type of conference.
Well, I like that a lot because I think it's also just for them to like refer back later, but mm-hmm. it's also just
yes.
a really great confidence booster. You know, if it's someone's mm-hmm. first time speaking, you know, about technology in front of a crowd, it's nerve-wracking your first time out, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And just to be, you know, it's on your own phone, so it's safe. It's not like mm-hmm. on the internet, and then you just go back and look at it when you need, like, you know, I wish I had that idea when I started out.
Yeah, technology is great now.
Yeah, that's a pretty simple way to attack that problem, too. Yeah. I like that. Well, do you get any blowback about it being just a female conference?
So one thing that we've been trying to really solidify our viewpoint is we want it to be able to increase diversity. So we've had questions such as, well, what if I'm gender nonconforming, or I like, how do we specify the language around what we mean by a women focused conference? Who are we really trying to help? And we've talked to different groups about it, and we're constantly evolving our language around it. And we want to make sure people are comfortable coming there. So like right now I would say we're cis and trans women friendly. We're still trying to figure out if it makes sense that people who identify as non-binary or maybe a different type of gender, how they would fit into it as well. We do just have to be careful as a nonprofit organization about that. We are like targeting a specific demographic, and we're not like specifically excluding people. We just want to create like a healthy, safe environment for our target demographic.
Okay. And aside from the language, I mean, you know, obviously that's huge. And then also just in general, something that we've found is just by having conferences and being inclusive, there's kind of like a word of mouth that happens around that. What other things do you feel like are necessary for, you know, to create safe spaces and for more diverse groups to feel comfortable coming to your conference?
So for instance, we also try to really help mothers come to the conference, or caretakers. And one way that we try to get that out is that we have a room for pumping for women who may need to, who are breastfeeding and need to pump. We also offered free childcare, and we recognized that last year we didn't do a fantastic job communicating that, but we did have people come, even if they didn't have children, and said, wow, this is great. You offer free childcare. I wish I knew about this. Or they respected us more because we were able to offer that.
Yeah.
And I think, and we're hoping that kind of makes its way through the community as well, to say that we're really trying to make it mm-hmm. a welcoming space.
I hear so many tech conferences say they wish they could do things like that. And I think that the more that are able to, you know, the more likely it seems across the board, you know, like it's more attainable.
Well, we're really, really lucky this year. Our venue for, we're moving the conference to Chicago this year, and the dates are the June 15th through June 17th, and we are at the psychology school there, and they actually have these rooms built into it. So they have like non-gendered bathrooms. They also have a mother's room, and all of these facilities already there. We didn't have to specifically ask for it. So it's like already set up for us. We got really lucked out with our venue.
Wow. That's really great. And I all of those things sound great, but they also sound like they would only be in a big city. That's the only thing that gets me about that. Yeah.
That's probably very true. And I've been living in New York City now for a really long time. When did I move here? a really long time. And I think maybe it whenever we did kind of think about it, like originally the conference was in New York City for 2 years. And it's space is always really hard, and finding a venue that's going to understand that. Now, again, I don't know that we'd really pick to have a conference in a really small city, just because we want people to be able to get to it with transportation and things like that. But I figure maybe, you know, try to set some type of like mark, see how high we can get to it.
Maybe it'll trickle. You know, to other spaces and other places.
Yeah.
People will come to expect it. And I think that's what happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I like that. If we set this new standard of how conferences, like what they offer, then, you know, we're just opening it up to more attendees.
Right. I just really, you know, admire that you are striving for all of these things and are able to accomplish them. I just think it's really great. Another thing that I ask every conference organizer, just because I'm always interested in their take on it, is you have a code of conduct.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering what effect you feel like that has, and why you think it's important to have one.
So it definitely sets the stage. And so being like a women-only conference, you would think maybe people would be like, oh, we don't need one because, you know, maybe men... I mean, it could be like a really easy thing to not think about. But whenever we started the conference in 2013, we really made the case for like, we need a code of conduct. You know, this is just the way we should behave as a safe environment. And we didn't really, like, we had a much smaller group in 2013 since it was our first year. But this past year, we actually really, we needed to get up there and say something to the attendees, even though we all were women there, and said, everybody here has agreed to the code of conduct. And we had an issue where somebody had learned that one of the women there was a trans woman and kept calling her by male pronouns. And this woman was really upset. And we just wanted to reiterate and say, like, look, this is a welcoming environment. Everybody write down on your name tags what your preferred pronouns are, and let's keep it on track here. And after that, we got feedback from other trans women who said they really appreciated that we just kind of stood out there and said, like, look, this is what's going to happen. You all agreed to the code of conduct. If you can't handle it like adults, you know, we'll deal with it. So I think a code of conduct is really important, but I think as a conference organizer, you have to understand, like, you have to follow up with that, and you are agreeing to it as well. And as a conference organizer, you have to agree on, you have to really be solid on how you're going to handle these uncomfortable situations. And I've now had to do this. So we had to do that with Right Speak Code. And I also run a RailsBridge workshop in New York City. And I once had to eject someone from it because they were making very misogynistic comments and making all of the women really uncomfortable. And it's just, you have to be very solid in it, understand what these limitations are and what's appropriate, and be able to follow through on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've only ever had to eject one person too, and it is no fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is so great to be able to refer to something. It's like, you know what, you signed up for this and we had a code of conduct there. Yeah. And, you know, and
yeah,
to, you know, to have something like that to fall back on, I think is huge.
Yeah, and I think it's really appropriate to then also announce to the audience that this is what happened, this is how we dealt with it, so that they understand that, you know, we're really making the effort to enact this code of conduct. So
yeah, and also you don't want to, like, as a conference organizer, you don't want to be talking, addressing rumors, like, one-on-one with the audience, you know, during the whole conference event, because if you just go up there and just address it, you know, hopefully people pay attention to what you're saying. But sometimes they don't. You know. But yeah, so that way you just nip it in the bud, if that's an expression I could use. Mm-hmm. But the expression I'm going to use a lot is because maybe Matt.
Because maybe
Ben.
Well, yeah. Back a couple of years ago, whenever code of conducts were relatively new, women were fighting for it. And I guess, like, you know, we're always evolving in what best helps other people feel comfortable. And so we listen to the type of critiques that we get in our feedback forms and try to make the best educated guess on how to what next things we can add or what we need to try better at. But yeah, it's like, we just want all of our attendees to really and like, even if it's just all women and they don't say anything misogynistic, they could say something kind of passive aggressive even. And like, we all want people to be supportive, and it doesn't matter what your gender is. It's like, we all have that capacity to be mean, right? Sometimes.
Yeah. There's like microaggressions and stuff that a lot of times people don't even realize that they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, so many are built into our culture and that sort of thing, or, you know, just like,
it's ingrained.
Yeah. Or like women making sex jokes or something, you know, even if it's a room full of women, there's probably a handful of them that probably don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, another thing that I think is interesting about your structure is that when I read this, it made perfect sense that, you know, you have write, speak, code as the structure. And in the writing component, you have you know, you talk about blog posts, and it just, you know, kind of hit me on the forehead. And I was like, you know, everyone I know who's a successful speaker has, or either has or had, a successful blog or someplace that they were blogging regularly. Could you speak a little bit about how you feel that blogging kind of affects your career, not just as a coder, but, you know, for in preparation for being a speaker at conferences?
Sure. So I think often I've had conversations a lot saying, well, I've got the blog thing down, I don't know how to be a speaker. And I think for me, what I started doing, and maybe don't look at my website right now, but it's in the process of
The cobbler's kid shoes thing. It's like everybody I know feels that way about their website.
Yeah, me too.
So I use my website, and as technologists, we understand SEO. We understand all of these different technology things that can go into better representing what we do. So oftentimes, I've been approached by things I've written on my blog, and I'm going through it, and I'm looking at all of these different interviews that I've been in, these talks, and really add it to my website. So it really becomes a portfolio of my work, and it really says, like, okay, here's everything I've written about, this is my area of expertise.
I think your point was well made, that it becomes, you know, if it's kind of like, if you tend it regularly, right, it becomes really representative of your body of work.
Right. And I think also the point is that shared me, like, as when people, we understand SEO, we understand Google, and that when you want to go out and talk about certain things that are interest of you, or you want to talk about it going forward, you want to collect them into a blog that has your name on it. And so, so when people go searching and for you, or want to find more information about you, it's like a gold mine. Like, you know, just like, you know, people are like, oh yeah, well, she's been talking about this forever, you know, on this topic, or, or she has another talk in here, or blog post where she's thinking
more. She's the person I want to listen to.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. So it's very important just to wrap it up to the blog. Very, like, if you're starting out, or if you want to keep on, you know, making them for stuff, I think it's that was true like a decade ago, if not, you know, even more so. So, because I mean, you have social media, you have Facebook, you have all this stuff where you actually go out and share your ideas, but it's so important as, you know, I think that Sean, when he was running South by Southwest Interactive, mm-hmm. like I saw his keynote before he left, was that he said, like, just own your own digital media.
And absolutely. And that's why I really encourage people to have their own domain, have the content on their website. You don't know if something's going to happen to Medium and all of that content.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome just to write your blog post and then go to Medium and say, hey, it was originally published at your. Yeah. So, but also, like, Facebook is just, a social media black box because you have no idea, like, you know, other than people you friend, like who might be like sharing your stuff and all that. It's really
because the walled garden issue.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a different topic.
We've been following a lot of YouTube issues over the past year or so since we've been using YouTube a lot more. Yeah. And YouTube has a really legitimate beef with Facebook right now about that. So completely understand.
But I digress.
Yes. That's okay. So what has been, I'll say, like the most surprising thing about doing this conference project? I see that you're growing, so it's obviously successful.
So I guess we really started out because this is something that we really wanted to be able to have in our world. Like so I felt like imposter syndrome up the wazoo because, I'm like trying to write a curriculum on I've done speaking, but like the first technical conference, like I had never done one. And, so we really went out and looked to create something that we wanted to attend ourselves. And I joked when we had our first conference kickoff on Saturday, I said, you know, my goal is one day to be able to actually attend this conference. It's really true because I'm trying to make sure that everything else is all set up. Everybody has what they need. And I guess maybe I'm surprised at just how much goes into it, maybe. But it's really great to then also have women come up to us and say, this has really changed my life and this is what's happened. And that's been such a reward. Mm-hmm. And even whenever you're so tired at the end and you're like, I never want to do this again, it's like that's what helps you get up off the floor and like keep moving.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean that's what I feel about CSS DevConf that we do. Uh-huh. I would like to attend it one day.
Yeah. Like, seems like it would be fun.
Yeah, it seems like it. But so people go up and have fun, and I'm still, you know, you've got questions with the staff and to deal with. And, you know,
right. Yeah, like, well, we are significantly expanding our team of conference organizers this year because historically it's only been about four or five of us. And last year and previous years, we haven't really been able to like fully attend our conference parties because we're always dealing with last minute stuff. So we're kind of hoping we get to attend the party this year.
right. You can't be a firefighter all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's great that you're able to, you know, that you're thinking about that and doing that. And we, our current thing that we've been thinking about is, you know, we work with volunteers every time and we have a good troop of volunteers. There's some people that, you know, want to repeat or want to come back in a bigger role as volunteers. And so that's something that we are looking at doing is, you know, for the folks that are really loyal and that we see every year in one capacity or another, and, you know, if, you know, because they obviously love the conference or conferences that we put on, like, is there some way that we could enhance their role and, you know, but still, you know, have their satisfaction level be the same.
So that's something that we definitely try to balance as well, is that we have volunteers who get, as long as nothing's going on, they can sit in on the conference for free. But, you know, we really try to ask them that when things kind of hit the fan, we need them. But I really like the idea of, I think pretty much all of the people who we've invited to help us with the conference this year have either attended or mentored last year or previous years. And it's really kind of like a stepping, it's like, you know, you learn skills to write, speak, code, but then if you really are passionate about what we're doing and want to contribute to it, we really also want to be able to have some type of framework to help, to have people continue to help the organization and give ideas and bring new life into what we're doing, because we don't know everything. We're just trying to like see what we think works.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's really fun too when the community has something, an idea or something to contribute that you're like, oh gee, you know, yeah. It makes perfect sense. Why didn't I think of that before? Type of feelings.
Yeah.
You can relate to that too.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's awesome when the volunteers and everyone just contributes to a new idea to life. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. But yeah, and I mean, one thing I like about the volunteer setup that Ari does is it, she does it in shifts. So volunteers kind of like, I don't know if it's like a Thunderdome or something like that, where like they have to do it in shifts. So like, they had to fight, like, if you want to see part of day one.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. So I make them choose. And I mean, you know, if I've got like, you know, 10 to 12 people coming to the table, they're all going to have kind of like favorites about, you know, who they want to see versus who they don't. And so it's kind of like by having a choice of which shifts they want to work, and I break the day into three parts.
Yeah.
It gives them, you know, we do the same thing where volunteers can sit and watch whatever, you know, sessions they want if nothing is going on,
right.
But I want the people that are on call to be able to jump up and do something if something needs to happen. And mm-hmm. So we are giving the volunteers lots of opportunities by taking, they all have to take two shifts.
Mm.
And so the rest of the time they can just attend the conference,
yeah.
You know, and it works out really well. And I mean, you know, a lot of times they still will ask if there's something they can do to help, you know.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to call on those people that are on the duty list first. And I just said duty. Hey. But yeah, so I'm going to call on them first, and it, you know, it makes it so that the, you know, we have the majority of our volunteers, not all, but the majority of them are students, and they would, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah, we had the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had some really great volunteers over the years who are just so enthusiastic and I think really grateful just to be there and have access to women in their career, because these women, the volunteers, are young women who are just starting out and maybe in the next few years are going to graduate, and they're already forming these connections by being exposed to this conference.
Right. Well, one thing, so I think we talked about the conference being, I think the first day is brainstorming, writing what you want to mm-hmm. speak about. Second day mm-hmm. is about presenting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third day, I noticed, is about getting used to the open source community and what that means. And like from like Git to, can you explain more about that day three? What happened?
Sure. So that is to help people feel fearless contributing to open source projects. So you really have a choice in whatever you'd like to contribute to, but we do have representatives on hand from different projects. I'm trying to think of, I'm drawing a blank right now, which projects we've had in the past, but really like having people even just proofread content, add documentation is something that's very simple, and it's supposed to get these women comfortable with putting a pull request out there and getting, you know, getting critiques, getting it merged into a project and contributing that way, which can be very stressful. It can be intimidating, and we want to show them that it really is not a big deal, and you can give a lot back to the community just by translating something.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. So yeah, I just like it because like within 3 days, I feel like it's you've created a their own personal developer evangelist. You know, they can actually they have like the initial tool sets to become a a developer evangelist. You know, like you're able to write, write a presentation, give a presentation, and contribute to the community and help leverage something like that. But it's not just for a company that they are developer evangelists, but it's for themselves.
Right? Yeah. So I really like this idea where you're kind of creating this. I think through this process, you're really finding out more about yourself and about where you find your passion, and how to promote yourself and talk about yourself, especially, which can be intimidating. And I think right now, what we're also thinking about is that our curriculum is pretty solid for the first year, and we're looking to see what we can do for repeat attendees, because it doesn't really make a lot of sense to have somebody repeat the entire 3 days there. But let me tell you, people are exhausted by the end of coaching. Even the most experienced people after 3 days are just like, oh my gosh, I need a break.
Yeah, I mean, because you're like left brain, right brain, stress of speaking, you just made like yesterday, and you got the imposter syndrome going on. Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, public speaking, the majority of people are more afraid of that than death, you know, and so.
Or moving to a new house.
You know, confronting your fears is a big deal. So obviously, someone that's there is, you know, giving so much of themselves if they're really participating.
Yeah, and if you're an introvert, yes, you're just burnt out.
It's a downtime.
Yeah. I didn't take space for that. As an introvert, like, oh my gosh. Cool. Yeah, I think that was fun. I think it's awesome. So what type of ideas do you have for people who would come back again? Like, what topics are you pulling?
So we're currently brainstorming this, and we are going everywhere from different content. So writing, so maybe like you would pick one type of discipline, either write, speaking, or coding, and create maybe an ebook. If you're speaking, maybe we could talk about if we could get like an expert on podcasting or creating like a video series. Like what we are trying to look on is how can we bring even more content to this, and like sharing ideas. And something that we definitely want to keep is that the reward for people coming to the conference often is having the mentors, like the people who have done it before, interacting with people who've never done it before. So we have to also figure in how we're going to have these two groups meeting and under what circumstances, and really make those relationships form, so that people kind of feel like it's a community and it's a network, as we move through the whole 3 days.
Oh, nice. Okay. Nice. That makes sense. Like, just kind of just amp up what you have there, and leveraging the technologies that are out there for get people to publish more and more platforms. Very awesome. Okay. Cool.
Again, we've been spending a lot of time reading and fooling around with YouTube and that sort of thing. And so I just think it's huge potential for people, you know. And again, I mean, you know, we talk about people being afraid of public speaking. Well, are you afraid of screencasting, or are you know what I mean? There's other ways of getting information out there too, you know.
Yes.
And then the other issue that I've kind of run into with blogs and like, you know, people that are just coming up now, you know, they would rather vlog, you know, and so, you know, we have to think about that as just as acceptable. And if you're vlogging in a way that's actually involves like some preparing and some research and that sort of thing, instead of just like, you know, spewing at a camera or whatever, I think that you're doing just as much, if not more work than, you know, a traditional blog format that, you know, is written.
Yeah. Right. Plus look presentable in front of a camera. I mean, that's
these things,
that's
right?
Things.
I don't know how professional YouTubers do it, man. That's like,
right. That's a lot. Well, I sat across from someone who'd done a Python series at one of the workshops that I went to. We went to a VidCon this year, and this gentleman, it was his passive income, you know? And so, it was like his base line expenses. You know, he'd worked his way up to and figured out that there was a niche there that, oh, somebody needs to be talking about Python on YouTube. And so he has a series and it pays a lot of his bills, you know? So, I mean, it's worth considering for those reasons as well. You know, not only does it help you, you know, be more articulate, but it also gives you a certain level of freedom maybe in your career.
Absolutely.
All goes up and share what you know.
Right.
Cool. Awesome. I think that's about it. I think it's pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. So how can people find you online, Rachel, or find out more about the conference?
So we are at writespeakcode.com. We're working on our conference website as we speak, and we are looking for sponsors. So please feel free to email us at sponsors@writespeakcode.com or find us online at our website.
And you are expanding, correct? So instead of just the one show, you're doing more per year. Is that right? Sorry.
We have a workshop called Own Your Expertise, and that is mini workshops, like one-day workshops that will run around the country. And yes, we're currently in San Francisco, Chicago, and New York City. We're thinking of expanding to DC area. And if we have some people who are really enthusiastic about getting us there, you know, contact us, and we'd be happy to talk.
Cool. That sounds great.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today.
And best wishes for continued success, too. I'm just so excited by what you're putting together and so glad that it's working out well.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.